Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor Terrell continues the series entitled Overcoming Rejection. Part 4 in this series deals with the fact that no combustion engine can run without oil. Neither can a human being live a healthy, productive life without love. People try to live on a synthetic love of their own making, but it has no lubrication value whatsoever, and as a result, their spiritual engines are destroyed. Without the love of God, rejection can never be overcome. This message is entitled Part 4, Fear of Rejection. Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor Terrell as he begins today's message.
Well, praise God and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church on July 8th, 2007. This is part 4 of my series on overcoming rejection. And today I'm going to deal with the subject of fear of rejection. So let's stand one more time and pray. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you and praise you right now that we can get into the Word of God, that we can dig in deep here today, Lord, that you would minister to us. And Father, give us understanding so that we can be victorious every day of our lives. And this we ask in Jesus' name. And those who agree said, Amen. You may be seated. You're in 1 John chapter 1, and we'll be looking at verses 4 and 5. Now I'm going to do a little repeat from last two Sundays. We have previously established that God is light. Let's read that. 1 John 1, 4 through 5. And these things write we to you, that your joy may be full. This is a message we heard of him and declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. God is light. The second thing is we learn God is love. 1 John 4:16. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love. Agape, divine love. And he that dwells in love, dwells in God, and God in him. You and I in our flesh cannot comprehend this kind of love. Your love and my love on this earth in the flesh is a love. You scratch my back, I scratch your back. You cross me, and I knock you. That's how we love in this world. As we dealt with before, and I'll read my next statement, because God is light and love, he dealt with a rejection from man in the following way. God himself paid for the offense of man and then forgave man. I want you to think about this. God is love. Let's say that you got a little garden outside your home where you live. And you went down to the store and you bought some plants and flowers. And you simply planted them carefully out there. You got a very nice looking garden. And you're just happy with your flowers and so on. You turn around to walk in the house. You hear some noise. And here comes some boy on a bicycle. Going too fast. Gets right up in your flower garden. Kills them all. Just scatters them. They just made into sawdust. And you turn around, and God says to you, that boy is not saved. I want you to love him. Would you have the capacity to say, well, I only spent $32 down at the Home Depot, Lowe's, to buy these flowers, you know, so be it. Hey, son, let me tell you, God loves you, and I love you too. Let me give you a hug. That would be difficult for us to do that. Because our first reaction will be, hey, stupid, watch where you're going. Look what you did to my flowers. I spent 3 hours on this. I paid good money for the flowers, and you ruined them. What's wrong with you? Come here. I want to punch you. God is love. As I shared that with you before, God made the most beautiful garden, created a whole planet for Adam and Eve, gave them everything from food and birds and all kind of good things. And then the devil came in just one time, spent maybe 5 minutes with Eve, and Eve said, God, move. I like this guy better. And God could have simply said, well, what has he done for you? Nothing. I just like him. That's the rejection that Adam and Eve did. And God said, I will forgive you. God understands his spiritual law, which cannot be violated by man without a severe punishment. God's people must forgive all people for all trespasses, regardless of how severe the trespasses are. Forgiving is not an option, it is the law. Matthew 6:14. That's Matthew. And I do repeat that now. Matthew 6:14-15. Jesus said, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Therefore, we cannot draw the conclusion that before rejection can be overcome, the law of forgiveness must be observed, and there are no exceptions. Let me read that statement to you one more time. Therefore, we cannot draw the conclusion that before rejection can be overcome, the law of forgiveness must be observed, and there are no exceptions. Let me read my next statement now. Healing the wounds of rejection. In this series of rejection, I'm dealing with a residual damage to a person after the demons of rejection are cast out. You have to understand that as long as demons of rejection are present in the body of a Christian, there can be no healing of the soul. Only casting out the demons will not bring an automatic healing. Now the person must deal with a root problem, which made it possible for the demons of rejection to gain entry to the body. There's not a person here today or listening to me via audio that has not experienced rejection. Rejection is something that we experience every day. People are rude on our jobs, driving in traffic, being in church. You know, I heard this statement years ago when I was a brand new Christian. And he simply said this, I love God, I love Jesus, I love the Holy Ghost, but I can't stand the family. And the problem is this, that when we come to church, we are not perfect. We are wounded souls that Jesus is trying to heal. You probably heard another statement which goes like this. I don't want to go to church because church is filled of hypocrites. And I tell people, well, that's right. We are all hypocrites. But some of us do something about it. But when you go to the store, do you ask the clerk before you shop, are you a hypocrite? If you are, I can't shop from you. Do you ask the gas service attendant before he takes your money, are you a hypocrite? If you are, I can't buy gas from you. No, we're not hypocrites. We says, well, that doesn't matter. You know, it's just in church. We don't want to deal with the subject. Each one of us have been rejected. Probably the worst rejection is divorce. Because divorce is deeper than anything else, because a person has simply joined with another one. The souls are knitted. You have surrendered your life to this man or to this woman. And you have opened yourself and laid yourself bare and simply said, whatever is mine is yours. And then to have somebody say, I want you out of my life, it's a rejection that it goes deep. It's rejection of love, of ourselves. And the devil comes in and say, you are ugly, you are no good. See, they don't like you. It's very painful. People try to hide it, push it down, try to forget it. Call the ex a jerk, whatever it is. Just try to do things. Some people say, well, we are the best friends and so on. You got all spectrum of it. But the problem is this. There is a rejection wound that has to be healed. And only God can heal that wound. The Gospel of John, the 3rd chapter. These are familiar verses. The Gospel of John, chapter 3. I'm going to read the first 16 verses. No human being can be healthy without love. Let me read that a couple of times. No human being can be healthy without love. You can't be healthy unless you have love that comes to you. We crave love. We are made to be loved. We are made to receive love. If we don't get it, we go broke on the inside. We need to be loved. But an unsaved person cannot experience the love of God. Furthermore, cannot give it. Remember this now. If you don't have it, you can't give it. If you don't have something, you can't give it. As a pastor, in my early years, I knew that pastors sometimes get their fingers into the till and it's embezzlement. And I made a decision more than 35 years ago that I would never sign checks in the ministry. I don't control the checking account of the ministry. I can tell how things should be paid, but I don't write the checks. I don't have any money. When people come to me and say, now, Pastor, can you help me out? I says, well, we will try. Can you give me some money, or whatever, right now, whatever it is? And I can say this, I don't have it. I might be very compassionate and says, well, this person needs some things right now, but I don't have it. I had to go, find the treasurer, and simply say, we need to take care of this need. When you meet an unbeliever in the store, when they drive on the road, they're not saved. Remember this, they cannot give it because they don't have it. They can give you conditional love, which simply means this, You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. But they do not have the capacity to love because they are not born again. Let me read to you now from John chapter 3. There's a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Verily, verily, said to you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You have to be born again. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, said to you, except a man be born of water, that's physical birth, and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said to you, you must be born again. As Christians, we should not expect anything from unbelievers. We should simply recognize they don't have it, they can't give it, don't expect it, and don't feel rejected. They just don't know. We need to give them Christ. There was a time when you were still unsaved. There's a time when you were not born again. If you were like me, I was ugly, mean-spirited, nasty. I was not a nice person. And I'm sure that people, Christian, would simply say, Well, God, why don't you wipe him out? Just wipe him out. Now, I was a mean person for about 25 years. God had patience with me for 25 years. Because he knew that in 25 years, he was going to turn my life around. And I say, thank you, Lord, that you did not hear the prayer of some Christians when I was about 12 or 13 years old, and you killed me. Thank you, Lord, you didn't hear their prayers. Here's the problem now. We are not saved. We walk with the Lord for some time. We begin to smell good, look good, you know, we're having a good time. And we look around on these slobs around us, you know, they're not really making it. Some are still in diapers, some are having pacifiers. And we look upon these born-again baby Christians, we say, now what's wrong with you? Get with the program. Now, come on, you've been saved 6 months, come on, start walking. And God is saying, hold it. How many years did I have patience with you? Well, let's not talk about that now, Lord. Yes, we're going to talk about that. How many years did God have patience with you? When we hear that, we're going to say, well, a long time. You know what? That's when we need to slow down and simply say this. I'm going to have patience with this baby, and that baby, and that baby. And in due time, they will grow. The wind blows where it lists, and you hear the sound thereof, but cannot tell where it comes from, and where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, Are you a master of Israel and know not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto you, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I told you earthly things, you believe not. How shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's take the plow now and put it down a little deeper. You know, when you and I have a relationship with one another as believers in Christ, we have certain demands. I demand in the flesh from you what I can do myself. I simply says, well, if I can do it, you should be able to do it. What's wrong with you, knucklehead? That's the wrong attitude. We got to remember that we have been on a growth for a long time. We'll be coming up on a slow growth. And when we are dealing with one another, we should be dealing like you're dealing with a flower that you're planting. You don't take a little flower, a little plant, and just grab it like this and stick it in the earth. You kill it. How do you pull up a little plant? You get them out of the containers. You go with a knife all the way around, loosen it up. And you very carefully lift that little thing up. You have a hole prepaid. You set it down. You put the dirt around it very carefully with your fingers. And you pack it down. Make sure that you don't break that stem. That's how we should treat one another. But most of the time, Christians, particularly husbands and wives, we give each other the rough treatment. You know how that goes. Strangers we treat very nice, and we talk lovely to them. Yes, wonderful, this and that. You know why? Because we want them to think good about us. It's our image. You talk to your wife, you talk to your husband, you talk to your brother, you talk to your sister, talk to some of the family, and you go, hey, you, this is what I need. We don't say please. Maybe get a nice dinner and so on. Do we say thank you? We simply say, well, I'm glad I got a nice meal. I hope I get some more. We got to learn to simply not have demand on people. Be thankful for what you get. It's a bonus. Simply say, thank you, I appreciate that. Don't think in your mind, well, you know, I wish you could have given more, I wish you could have done this and that, you know. People will give what they have, what they can. Be thankful and remember this, how you plant a flower. You don't grab them and shove them, but you hold them and plant them very tenderly. Let me go back to my outline now. Unsaved people are desperately seeking love. They try to find it in sexual relationships. They look for it by seeking fame and fortune. And always look for approval from others. Instead of finding the love they are seeking, they become slaves of sin. And the result is anger, jealousy, insecurity, inferiority, regrets, and deep scars of rejection in their souls. Let me take it to Romans chapter 6. Romans the 6th chapter. In this conference we went, the people there loved the Lord, filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, praying for the sick, all kind of things. But you know what? They are, most of them, very fat. As I look upon these people, you know, you see the meals coming out. Bacon, pork sausage, grease, you know, and they stuff themselves. And they don't understand, I'm only 47, I only weigh 240 pounds. God, where is your healing? And God said, before I can heal you, we got to have a front-end alignment. You know what a front-end alignment is? That is when your teeth are lined up with the Word of God. Because we eat ourselves to death. Now, as I sat with hundreds of people like this, I could have easily simply said, you know, I could have put my finger and said, well, look what you got in your plate. No wonder you're fat. No wonder you got high blood pressure and so on. But I decided this. They were not ready to hear that. They didn't want to hear it. Matter of fact, I asked one of the chief operating officers, I said, now, sir, I said, you know, we're good friends. I said, not everyone eats pork. He said, really? I said, yes. There are some people that are like Jews. We don't eat the pork. I said, couldn't you have something else? But you know what? Now we're talking money. He says, well, if you tell us in advance that you would have on a different plate, we can fix it for you. I said, I don't want to, every time there's a meal, I'm going to tell you, no, I want this and this and that. Lack of understanding. Let me read to Romans chapter 6, now verse number 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it to the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instrument of unrighteousness unto sin. But yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instrument of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, or slaves to obey, his servants or slaves you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. Where do we start with people that are not saved? Well, you don't start by telling them, you know, are you a pork eater? You don't start by telling them this, you know, here's a Christmas tract, the truth about Christmas. This is where we start. You don't start there. Where do we start? We start with, you must be born again. We got to get the person into the kingdom of God. And once we have them into the kingdom of God, we can begin to teach them from the Word of God. Let's read in the outline. The love of God is like oil for a combustion engine. No automotive engine can function without oil in a crankcase. Neither can a human live a victorious life on earth without the love of God. Let me give you a nice example of this. We had a nice lawnmower on our property. We called it a Troy-Bit lawnmower. It's a big one, about 8 horsepower or so. It's a very nice machine. We had people use that. And one day, the man that was using that came to me and said, you know, I can't start this lawnmower. So I went out there, and I tried to pull the thing, and of course, you know, it was just, you couldn't budge it. So we took it into a shop. The guy did one pull, checked it out, and he said, this engine is cooked. It did not have one drop of oil in it. You take a combustion engine, and you got pistons going up and down like this, you have no oil in there. It's going to be so hot, it's going to be welded together. It's just going to be welded shut. What did you have to do with that engine? It could not be repaired. It had to be taken off, tossed into a garbage can, and we had to replace that engine, which was an expensive situation. The love of God is like oil for a combustion engine. No automotive engine can function without oil in the crankcase. Neither can a human live a victorious life on earth without the love of God. As you look upon the unbelievers around, they do not have the love of God. They are running out of oil. And it is going to show up in all kind of difficulties and problems that is going to destroy them and wipe them out. Let me read this list here. Unsaved people try to replace the love of God with alcohol, other drugs, sexual stimulation, including perverted sex and pornography, smoking, doping, drinking, etc. Others try to find pleasure, like TV, movies, music, sports, boating, fishing, skiing, camping, traveling, and the list goes on and on and on. People in America are fat because they are bored and in need of love. So they turn to food and drink to satisfy their craving for love. I want you to really think about this. Look upon our children. What do we start them out on? Junk food. Sodas. Loaded with sugar. All kind of different things that are preservatives. And then we wonder, I mean, if you look upon children in public schools and even in Christian schools, some of them have difficulty walking because they are too fat. God did not make us to be that heavy. Our frame cannot carry that. Can you imagine the ankle bones, tiny bones in the feet of people have to carry 200 pounds? No wonder, you know, we're not doing too well. Why? Because people are bored. They do not know and have the love of God. Christians are in this group also. Turn to Isaiah chapter 55. This is a scripture we've been many times. Isaiah, the 55th chapter. Now, I'm not picking on any particular person in the ministry. I'm just talking in generality. So, Isaiah 55. This is a recipe for happiness. Ho, everyone that thirsts, come ye to the waters, and he that has no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which is satisfied not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and that your soul delight itself in fatness. Look at this verse 2. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently to me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Ask yourself this. What do I labor for? What are my values? Why do I work for this and that? Is it giving you satisfaction? Incline your ear and come unto me, here, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercy of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, you shall call a nation that you know not. A nation that knew not you shall run unto you because of the Lord your God, and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. call ye upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and snow from heaven, it return not thither, but waters the earth, and makes it bring forth in bud, that he may give seed to the sower, bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper the thing whereto I send it. You shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before it to singing, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. What am I trying to say so far today here now? Sum it up in this way. If you don't have love, you can't give it. People are going to reject you and me. There's going to be always rejection. We got to learn to say, that's fine. Reject me. I don't care. Tell me I'm no good. I'm ugly. I don't like you. That's fine. That's your problem. Because I know one thing. God loves me. And God loves me so much that he gave his only begotten son just for me. And because God is light and God is love, I can love you even when you reject me. This is the beginning of healing, of rejection. Turn to Luke chapter 12 right now. The Gospel of Luke, the 12th chapter. And you pick it up in verse 15. And Jesus said to them, take heed, and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Now, I've shared this probably years ago, but I was a very bitter, angry preacher a number of years ago. When I came to this town in 1976, had a little Bible study, had my church blown up in Lodi. Had a witch actually in the church that came up on a Sunday to me. We were going to go on a 12-week crusade meeting to Europe. She was married to my youth pastor. Nice-looking lady in her mid-30s. She came up to me at the invitation, stuck her hand in my hand, and smiled and said, I am a witch, and I hate you. And I'm going to destroy this church. I just about dropped my mouth. People singing for the invitation. I'm going to supposed to pray for people, and she just gave me that word. So I got up to this town, angry. I would drive down a church, and I'd see a church building. And I would say, God, I can handle that church. That would be a lovely church for me to have. I can handle that. I went to different places and I saw these churches. I said, God, I'm just as good as these guys are. What's wrong with you, God? I can handle this church of 500 people. I got the brains for it. I know how to do it. After all, I got a degree. And God is mercy. He simply says, well, I'm going to have you go over here and give you a little fellowship to practice on. It took a long time. You know, I didn't want to go to convention those days with our preachers. They would always come up and say, well, I'm so-and-so, you know, I'm pastoring this and this church. I said, well, fine. And they would say, you know, what are you doing? Well, I'm pastoring this little church. Well, how many people do you have on Sunday morning? I only got 5,000. How many you got? Well, if the sun is right, the wind is blowing the right way, and everybody shows up, I might have 34 people. But that's if, you know, it depends on the wind goes. I hated that. Oh, there's rejection. And I felt, you know, I don't want to talk to people about this because I got nothing to share. Jealousy. And that was a rejection that was so deep in me that I could not endure it. And, of course, the bitterness came out. I mean, you know, I had a bitter fruit. God bless the people around me. God worked besides, you know, my shortcomings, or actually sins. But look at verse 15. Take heed and beware of covetousness. For man's life consists on the abundance of the things which he possesses. Don't be coveting. Don't be jealous. Understand that behind that is a rejection. Deal with it. I finally came to the place where I said, God, if you want me to sit out here in the tulips and just praise you and worship you, I will sit here in the tulips. I will waste my life. And God said, you're not wasting your life. I'm just cooking you right now because, see, I can use you. You got to be sweet before God can use you. Back to Luke 12. And Jesus spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought with himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build great, and there I will bestow my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have much goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this night your soul shall be required of you. Then whose shall those things be which you have provided? So is he that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And he said to his disciples, therefore said unto you, take no thought for your life which you shall eat, neither for the body which you put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. And then, of course, we have, if you go down just a few verses here, in verse 29, and seek not you what you shall eat or what you'll drink, neither be you doubtful of mind, for all these things to the nation of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you have the need of these things. But rather seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear of rejection. Let me read this to you. This is developing the person for the time of conception. With parents fighting and arguing, screaming out threats at others like I want a divorce. I'm not happy. I hate you. I'm going to kill you. And the list goes on and on. Yes, this is how men and women talk in marriages in America and in every nation. The baby hears this, and in his soul develops a great fear. How will my parents treat me if they treat each other so terribly? Let me take it to Job, the book of Job, just before Psalms. Job chapter 3, verses 24 through 26. For my sighing comes before I eat, and my roarings are poured out like the waters. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. The things that I feared came upon me. I think that each one of us here today, and just listen to my voice, your parents were just like we are today. They were young adults. And they were in love or lust, whatever it was. They married, they conceived. And you know that love or lust turned to anger and hate and bitterness. And I think if we're going to be really honest with each other, that our parents, they had arguments, and that made us insecure. There were probably discussions before you were born. I hate being pregnant. I didn't want to get pregnant now. Baby hears that. It causes fear of rejection. Let me read on. As you look at the human race, observe this. When children grow up, they want to dress, talk, eat, and partake in all activities other children are doing. Every year, parents have to spend huge sums of money at the beginning of the school year. Each child must have the same kind of clothing, hairstyles, shoes, etc. The businessmen in the world are capitalizing on this, and every year there is a change, which means that new items have to be purchased. Woe unto the child that comes with last year's equipment to school. Backpacks, school lunch boxes, etc. are redesigned every year, and the child must have what is in now, or they feel total rejection and scream in fear that others will laugh at them since they are not conforming to the herd. This will continue for the rest of their lives on this earth. Teenagers must look and move like others. They must fit into the herd. Adults are locked into this bondage. Clothing style changes year by year, and the adult must wear what is in or be considered an oddball. A child of God should not care what people in the world say and do. We should be concerned only about one thing, to please God. Romans chapter 12. Now you might want to ask Charles a question, those of you that have access to him here in the ministry. But he was about maybe 14, 15 years of age. And my wife and I came down to visit. They lived in Santa Rosa area at that time. He was going to go out and go someplace. And I looked at his pants. And he had taken his pants and simply wrapped them like this and stuck them in and tied them down. And they called that pegging. P-E-G-G-I-N-G. I said, are you afraid of grass or something? Or, you know, why do you do that? He said, everybody does that. I said, you look ridiculous. That's stupid. He walked out with his peg pants walking, you know, to beat his buddies. They all look the same. Walk the same and talk the same, you know, sang the same songs. And you got to be in the herd. You ask him today, you know, and he gets embarrassed. So you might ask him, you know, you pegged your pants today? Bless his heart. Think about it. You and I fear rejection. Now, if you look at my ties, you see my ties every week. And over the years, I got ties. I've probably got about 150 ties hanging in the closet. I really should get rid of some of them, but I'm sentimental, you know. And I got ties. I got fat ones, skinny ones, medium ones, striped, this way, that way. You know, as they change the style right now, I got everything. I got the next style for tomorrow. I mean, I just got the tie. I just saved them. Sometimes I wear a really wide tie, you know, you might look and say, well, you know, he's kind of old-fashioned. Yeah, that's about 25 years old, but it's still a good tie. I don't care. As long as it is clean and not tattered. Look at Romans 12, 1 through 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, wholly accepted to God, which is your reasonable service. and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Here you go now. Be not conformed to this world. Have I been conforming? Yes. As a teenager in the 50s, I wanted the duck style. Some of you older ones might remember that. And that came from Mexicans in Los Angeles. They could not afford a haircut. So they had very long hair. They greased it down, pulled it over like this. So you had kind of a little thing going down here and the hair like back over like this. That was the style in the 50s. Every time you went out, you had to take a dab of grease and grease your hair down. You know, you don't want to have your hair cut, you know. So you look the same, walk the same, talk the same. We all got the duck tail. And I thought I was cool. Matter of fact, I had a hat, my Chicago hat, the green hat. Looked like a gangster. I had that for about 10 years or so. It was so filthy, so dirty, it could actually, you know, it could stand on its own, or you could have burned it, I mean. And I had that. Finally, my wife threw it away. But when I put that hat on, I felt very confident, you know. I looked just like the rest of them. She said, wear something else. No, that's my hat, you know. Be free. Simple as that is. I don't care if people are going to reject the way I look and talk and so on. I'm just going to love them. I'm going to be conformed to the image of God. Quickly turn to Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. We're just about done. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 4. This is for you and for me. The word of the Lord came unto me saying, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctify you. And I ordained you a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said to me, say that I am a child. For you shall go to all I shall send you. And whatsoever I command you, you shall speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. And then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations, and over the kingdom to root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down, to build, and to plant. Verse 8 is a key here. Be not afraid of their faces. For I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. If you can come to the place where you simply say, I don't care what people think about me. As long as God is pleased with me, and I know in my heart that I'm pure, I will love these people, and if they reject me, that's their problem. I'm still going to love them. Let's talk about self-rejection now for just a moment. Most people have rejected themselves. And we can see that in that they are constantly trying to imitate others instead of being themselves as God created them to be. I suffered from self-rejection for many years. I simply felt I was worthless, piece of junk, piece of dirt. I had no value. And I felt that way until I got rid of the Arrested Development spirit when I was over 40 years old. I was preaching the gospel, and I felt I was a nobody. I was worth nothing. A Christian who thinks very lowly about himself will become what? Angry and abusive to others. since there is so much hurt on the inside. I never liked my teeth. I was really teased when I was a child because my teeth floated out. They got, you know, all kind of space between them. I enjoy it now when I eat something, you know, that I don't have to floss because, you know, the meat does not get stuck. And my bottom teeth never came out, that baby teeth. They got worn down, and they called me the rat. Well, I would talk like this because I didn't want to show my baby teeth. I had nothing in the bottom here, you know, just chewed down. And my grandma, at the age of, when I was 18, said, son, she said, I'm going to send you to the dentist, we're going to put a bridge in. And that was done many years ago, and the dentist said I would hold for 20 years, but praise God, I had another close to about 45 years or so. I was very conscious about that. Didn't want to smile. That's when we took pictures of me. I always go like,
I don't want to show my teeth, you see.
I was conscious. Hated that. And then I realized one day, did I make myself? No. Who made me? Who put the ears where they're supposed to be? God did. Well, if he did, then it's his problem. I'm looking the way he made me. And if people says, well, I don't like the way you look, you know, I said, well, I'm sorry for you. Talk to the boss. I didn't make myself. He did. Accept yourself as a handiwork of God. I look, I walk, and I am how God created me to be. And I'm going to love myself. Let me read the next statement. You must come to understand that each human being made to his specifications by God, and that no two people are the same. Accept yourself as God made you, and do not try to become another person. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 1 very quickly and read that. Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man our image, after our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, over the cattle of every, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him. Male and female created he them. And back to Romans chapter 12 again. Romans chapter 12. And we want to pick it up in verse number 3. For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, with the prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. With ministry, let us wait on our ministry, with he that teaches on teaching. With he that exhorts with exhortation. He that gives, let him do it with simplicity. He that rules with diligence. He that shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. If you learn this, what you have is what you have. You cannot say, well, they demand on me to give this and that. I don't have it. Whatever IQ you have, that's what you got. Don't try to be an Einstein if God gave you a brain to be for a carpenter. You can still be intelligent. You can be still with different things. But there are certain things that you cannot do, that I cannot do. But if we pool our resources, there will always be someone that is skilled on this, someone is skilled in that, someone is skilled there, and together we can make something wonderful. But we got to learn to respect one another, accept one another, and accept yourself, and stop rejecting yourself. 3 points at the very end. Luke 6:38. They might sound simple, but these are powerful things. That's Luke chapter 6, verse number 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure pressed down and shaken together and running over shall man give to your bosom. For the same measure that you meet with all shall be measured to you again. That is not only applied to money. That applies to love. That applies to everything. If you want friendship, give friendship. If you want love, then give love. If you want caring, then give caring. Whatever you give, how much you give, is going to come back to you. If you have fear of rejection, come to Jesus. In Matthew chapter 11, and these are verses you probably should write down on some cards and have with you, and quote until you know them by heart. In Matthew 11, 28, Jesus said this, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." If you have fear of rejection, go to Jesus, and give all your heavy burdens to him. I said, "Jesus, I'm so afraid of being rejected." And he will take it from you. And thirdly, if you have self-rejection, proclaim that you are a new creation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I remember many years I would do this until I had got rid of the arrested development spirit. When I was shaving, stood in front of the mirror, I would look in the mirror and look at my face, and I said, "Who are you? Who are you?" Because I didn't have an identity. I felt angry to myself. I felt I was no good. I was just mediocre and this and this and that. And I would look at my face, and I would say, "I don't know who you are." And I would walk away and I would ask that many times. Now I can go back when I shave and look at my face. I don't have to be ashamed of my face the way my face is shaped. I didn't make it. I got it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 16. Look at this verse. "Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation." Who are you? Who am I? We are made in the image of God. We are made as individuals, men and women at this time on earth. We were made to serve God. We were made to receive love. We were made to give out love. We are made to be compassionate. We are made to be kind. We are made to be loving creatures, slow to anger. Let me just take you outline right now. I want to point this out. I want you to look upon this. No human being can be healthy without love. I was sick for many, many years in my soul because I could not receive all the love that God had for me. I was running out of oil. I had fear of rejection. And I rejected myself. If any one of these things fit you, some of you have dealt with that, you've passed that stage right now, you're moving on. Praise God. But look at the last 3 points. If you want love, give love. If you have fear of rejection, run to Jesus. If you have self-rejection, proclaim that you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. This is a sermon message that you got to think about. You got to pray over this. Search yourself. But if you can get this down into your soul and can receive the healing of God, then you will begin to live. Let's start for prayer. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you for what you've done in my personal life. Lord, it took many years, lots of pain and tears and heartaches. But I thank you, Father God, for your patience. That, Lord, I cannot find live a life of peace and joy and happiness. Father, some of the people in this church have also coming up plateau, Father God. We thank you for that. Others are climbing up to that. Others are struggling. And I pray for your Holy Spirit to move out today to every person hearing my voice, to fill them with your love, that you wrap your arms around them and say, I love you. I made you. You are made in my image. Don't try to change yourself. Just be a flower that will bloom as the Holy Ghost is ministering inside. Help us, Father God, to shed our sins. Help us to walk in holiness. And in that holiness, help us to stick our flowers up and to bloom where you have planted us. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you remain standing, please? The altars are open. The oil is here. The elders are ready to pray. And if you have a need today, whatever need it is, just come as we wait a few moments.
Friend, you might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you'll die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, Everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7-8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past. And there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, If you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. You've been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was the fourth part in the series, Overcoming Rejection, and was entitled, Fear of Rejection. Part 4 in this series dealt with the fact that no combustion engine can run without oil, neither can a human being live a healthy, productive life without love. People try to live on a synthetic love of their own making, but it has no lubrication value whatsoever, and as a result, their spiritual engines are destroyed. Without the love of God, rejection can never be overcome. This message is available on CD and cassette, and when ordering, ask for sermon number 1089. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number is 1-888-708-3232. That's 1-888-708-3232. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.